Hello, hello. My name is Rachel Otwell, and I am here for The Scene. I'm with Illinois Public Radio, and I'm joined by Scott Fingold.
That's right. I'm here from the Illinois Times, and every week we show up on your radio dial or in your computer, depending on your preference, to tell you what is going on around town, around the area, and just what kind of cool stuff you can get out of your house and do.
Yep, talking about art and stuff in good old Central Illinois.
Exactly.
Because there is plenty of it. Mm-hmm. And one of the people who knows that well is our guest host.
Hey,
hi, Scott.
Hi.
Would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. I'm Scott Richardson. I'm the executive director of the Legacy Theater here in Springfield. The Legacy Theater is both the oldest theater in town and also the newest. It was originally built in 1951 as the home of the Springfield Theater Guild. It's over on Lawrence Street, just south of Vinegar Hill Mall and just west of the Dana Thomas House on Lawrence. And so it was the location in Springfield for all kinds of wonderful plays and musicals through the early 2000s, at which time the building was abandoned. And then we rescued it in 2011 and reopened it and have been having all kinds of fun ever since.
What would have happened to the building if you guys hadn't come along?
You know, it was interesting. We had all kinds of contractors and inspectors, and they're checking out the space before we made the decision to purchase it. And most of them told us that it was about 2 years away from really just falling down. So we, because I would say to all of them, you can tell me if this is not a good idea. You know, if head for the hills is the answer, that's an okay answer. And they all pretty much agreed it was going to be a lot of work, but it was not unsurmountable work. So we made the decision to jump in with both feet, and the show must go on.
There was a lot of rehabbing that you guys did.
Right, right. It was everything from waterproofing the building. Before we took ownership of the building, there was 2 feet of water in the basement. So it was, getting the building dry, first of all. Repairing some roof issues, some plumbing, some heating, some cooling. You know, literally the basics of the building needed to be tended to. And we opened in July of 2011 and did not have carpet yet. The things that I've learned in renovating a theater, who knew that, 15,000 square foot of carpet was not an in-stock item,
yeah.
in bright red, that is. But
Yeah, I've been to everything from like a underground poetry reading night to see It's a Wonderful Life.
Great.
To local theater. You guys do a lot of different things.
We're pretty quirky,
Yeah.
There's probably nothing that's too offbeat for us. We'll try anything. Mm-hmm. The arts
and
are so varied.
And you guys have booze for a lot of things. Just saying.
We had booze for, Fancy Nancy and for our summertime snow party.
Well, that's
featuring
where you
Frozen.
Need it most, probably. It's most important in those.
We had the sign on the front steps to the theater when we were doing our summertime snow party, which was a Frozen theme event. The sign literally said, "Mommy and Daddy have seen Frozen 67 times. The bar is open."
Nice. Because you have those, cups that you can take into
mm-hmm.
the...
Which we do.
Springfield is unique to be able to drink while you watch theater.
Exactly. Yeah, when we do the movies, we call them Brew and View, mm-hmm. and people seem to really like it. So
that's
great.
Well, we'll get back to Scott here in a bit. He has a whole season lineup to tell us about, but it wouldn't be The Scene if we didn't tell you what was going on in the immediate future. And for that, I will turn firstly to Scott.
Okay. Well, this Friday there's going to be a photographic exhibit at the Springfield Art Association opening called Shifting Sands. It's about the architectural legacy of Springfield, just buildings and things that are landmarks, some of them still here, some of them gone. And it's a collaboration actually between the Art Association and the Sangamon Valley Collection at the Lincoln Library. So a lot of the photos are from there. And it has things like the old Lincoln Library, the John Hay Homes, State House Inn, Orpheum Theater, just things like that, just beautiful photographs of beautiful old Springfield. So, head on out to the Springfield Art Association for that. And there's another opening on Saturday, isn't there, at the Art Association? So we aren't just...
There's another, the Prairie Art Alliance, yes, mm-hmm. is opening its first 2016 exhibition. As we know, Prairie Art Alliance and Springfield Art Association will be merging as one entity, but that has not yet officially happened, apparently, because, yes, they will have their own exhibition at the H.D. Smith Gallery, which is at the Hoagland. And the reception is from 5:30 to 7:30 there. And the theme is called Reflections. It's spelled interestingly with a capital X in the middle. And it features woodwork by Brian A. Allen and photography by Jenny Lee. You know about her.
I do know about Jenny Lee.
She does a lot of photography for you guys,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, she does a lot of work for the Illinois Times and the Springfield Business Journal. It's just kind of a fixture of the photography front here in Springfield, an excellent photographer.
Mm-hmm. And paintings and drawings are going to be there by Greg Walbert. So the evening will begin with art talks from 5:30 to 6 in Theater 3, and then the reception will follow, and the artwork will be displayed until February 25th. That gallery will be remaining open after the merger happens. It's right. Just kind of going to be absorbed, so it's not as though that's going away at all. But this is the first of the year exhibition anyway, right. So...
And then Cafe Brio continues its new programming. It's become sort of an arts hub in itself as opposed to just being a restaurant. They've had music shows and art shows and things like that since it has been under its new ownership. And they're having a Battle of the Bands on Saturday featuring the band called Tang, I guess, is hosting it. Tang is an acronym for the Avant National Guard, which is apparently an appropriate name for them. Some local musicians pushing the envelope in terms of sonic acceptability and verbiage will be hosting the Battle of the Bands at Cafe Brio on Saturday. And then Sunday continues the Springfield Art Association's film series, which I believe we talked about last week, but I think it might have been premature. But the Italian film Human Capital will be playing this week on Sunday and then again on Tuesday.
Yeah, that was our mistake. So amendment there. We talked about the Springfield Art Association's film series kicking off. Well, it happened. It's happening
this week. We talked about it last week as if it was then. So for those of you keeping score...
We were wrong. Yeah. Opening this weekend at the Hoagland is the play by Noelle Coward called Hay Fever. I'm reading their little blip here, but it says classy, sassy, and hilarious. Hay Fever is Noelle Coward's masterpiece, a lighthearted comedy of manners that shows what happens when an eccentric family of London artists invites four unsuspecting guests to visit. And it says fans of Downton Abbey will appreciate it and the 1920s glamour. And speaking of Downton Abbey and Maggie Smith, who appears on that, she was actually part of a Hay Fever performance that was done in 1964. Do you have, did I write this down, guy she was with for you? Okay, no, I wrote it for myself. Okay, so we're going to play a little snippet of that. This will be Maggie Smith and the actor Anthony Nichols in just a little... scene that they have from an adaptation of Noelle Coward's play called Hay Fever.
Tell me, how do you manage to know so much about women?
Well, I'm afraid my knowledge of them is sadly superficial.
Oh, no. Now, you can't call Evelyn's character superficial. It's amazing.
Tell me, why are you being so nice to me? Have you got a plan about something?
How suspicious you are.
I can't help it. You're very attractive, and I'm always suspicious of attractive people on principle.
It's not a very good principle.
Well, I'll tell you something strictly between ourselves.
Oh, do.
You're wrong about me.
Wrong? In what way?
I write very bad novels.
Well, don't be ridiculous.
Well, you know I do because you're an intelligent person.
Well, I don't know any such thing.
Well, tell me why you're being so nice to me.
Because I want to be.
Why?
I think you're a very clever and amusing man, and I think I've rather lost my heart to you.
Oh, shall we elope?
Oh, David.
Oh, you call me David.
Well, do you mind?
Not a bit.
I don't think you're being very kind.
Oh, what makes you think that?
You being the cynical author laughing up his sleeve at a gushing admirer.
I think you're a very interesting woman and extremely nice looking.
Oh, do you?
All right, so that's from Hay Fever. The play will be at the Hoagland starting this weekend as well as next weekend. Osni Vigisa, who is a well-known local actor, will be one of the leads. So for some people, that might be draw enough.
Does she sing with Black Queen?
She does. That's what I yes. thought. She's a yoga lady. She's got her hands in a lot. She was in the cabaret. She did a very good job in that. She's just always got her hands in everything, as you probably know, Scott Richardson.
Yeah, she performed. They did. Black Queen performed at the Legacy New
to
Year's.
Open for Hedwig. Right.
Yeah,
that was fun.
The New Year's concert, and then Osni was also in our production of Spring Awakening.
Yes, she actually will be in here at a later date to talk about that. So if you want even more information before you head out to see it, go to wuis.org for that. Other than that, do we have any other events to talk about, Scott?
No, I think it's time to open it up to Mr. Richardson.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
Let's do that. So, again, we are joined today by Scott Richardson. He is the head honcho over at the Legacy Theater. And he's going to...
That's your technical title, right?
I like to always only be technical. But let's talk a little bit about what this season has in store. It's a new year, new season, right?
Here we go. We can't believe we're starting our fifth year.
Wow, that is kind of crazy.
Isn't that crazy?
It is. I was trying to remember when I did the cover story for the Illinois Times about you guys, and it doesn't seem that long ago.
You know, time flies whether you're having fun or not.
That seems to be the case.
Right, but we're having fun.
Yes,
we are definitely having fun. For us, the new year kicks off on January 16th with something called In Your Honor, which is a tribute to the Foo Fighters' Skin and Bones album. So that's kind of cool. That's on January 16th at 8 o'clock. So the next up for us is actually the drama club from Lanphier High School is coming over to the Legacy, and they're doing a play called Murder by the Book, which I had never heard of, but it actually sounds kind of cool. Their little synopsis is that the world's greatest mystery writers attend an annual meeting of the Raven Society, and then everyone who comes to this meeting has to come disguised as a famous author. But there's some jealousy that ensues, and they start dropping. So
murder mystery.
That's right. So that'll be loads of fun with all the Lanphier High School kids, and that's January 29, 30, and 31. And tickets for that are only $7, and they're general admission, but you can get tickets to that on our website. So, and then on February 6th, we have a CD release concert, actually, by Dan Hubbard, who is a singer-songwriter from the Bloomington area. So he has put out his first CD, and will be doing a concert to celebrate that at the Legacy on February 6th. Doors and Bar at 7 p.m. 8 o'clock is his special guest opener, Annalise Emmerich. And then Dan Hubbard takes the stage at 9. So that should be loads of fun. And again, tickets for that are on sale on our website at thelegacy.com. So then let's see what's coming up. Actually, you know, and a couple other things are coming up in February. We're actually auditioning for our summer musical and also for the play with music that we have next fall. So auditions for Sister Act the Musical, which for us is a regional premiere. We're really excited to be doing that. Will be held at the Legacy on February 6th and 7th. And then auditions for Peter and the Star Catcher, which is a play with music. It's not a musical. That will be held, auditions for that show will be held February 20th and 21st.
What's the difference between a musical and a play with music?
A musical uses, in my opinion, uses the music to sort of advance the story. This is a play that has one song in it.
Oh, yeah, that's a big difference.
There's that.
That's a pretty big difference.
Exactly. But you know what? It's really an interesting piece because there's a drummer and a pianist that underscore the entire show almost as if it was an old silent movie.
Right.
So that's really cool.
Yeah.
And it's Peter and the Starcatcher is a cast of, I believe, 12 that portray over 100 characters.
Wow.
So it's wild.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Yeah, so those two auditions are coming up. So if folks want information on that, check out our Facebook page and get all the details on how to register and whatnot.
Cool.
So that's pretty cool. Also coming up in February is a concert on Valentine's Day with the Sangamon Valley Civic Orchestra. So that's on Sunday, February 14th at 4 p.m. They'll be joining us. And then the following weekend on February 27th, is a new group in the area called the Central Illinois Amateur Playwrights, and they'll be doing an evening of one-act plays in the Legacy Lounge. So it's a very small, intimate experience downstairs in our lounge space. I think there's three contemporary pieces that they'll be doing. And then after the three pieces, they'll be taking a brief break, and then the playwrights will come back and do a Q&A with the audience and have a reception. Well, then next up for us in March, the Springfield Ballet Company is joining us at the Legacy for something called Rhapsody in Gershwin, which will be March 11th, 12th, and 13th. So 8 p.m. Friday and Saturday, 2 p.m. on Sunday. And what that is, it's the Springfield Ballet Company with several guest choreographers from the area, and also a jazz combo and a half a dozen of the area's finest vocalists. So they'll be performing all Gershwin pieces, and then the individual choreographers, their different interpretations. They've all been asked to pick different songs, and so they're building a whole evening of Gershwin and dance. So that's pretty cool. And then on the complete opposite end of the Gershwin spectrum, Elvis is in the building on Friday, March 18th. And what that is, it's Joseph Hall, who people may remember from his appearances on the TV show America's Got Talent. He was in the top 10. And his promotional materials include Sharon Osbourne's quote, "I've got shoes older than you, but I'd like to try you on." So for the last four seasons, Joseph has been doing his Elvis Rock and Remember show in Branson, and has decided to conclude that this year and go on tour. So one of his early stops is at the Legacy. So on March 18th at 8 o'clock. And tickets are on sale now for that as well. We're really excited to welcome to the theater in April, on the weekend of April 16th and 17th, something called the Doyle and Debbie Show, which is an utterly ridiculous country-western musical comedy piece. We have the original Nashville cast. They're coming up from Nashville to join us at the theater. And it's sort of in the vein of the old Tammy Wynette and George Jones, or Dolly Parton and Porter Wagoner,
right.
Those country duets, but you know, with a little bit of liquor and you know, comedy ensues.
Yay! Time for Culture Corner. Some weeks it's hard for me to come up with stuff because I spend most of my free time, it seems like, with my daughter, because she's two, and those tiny little people require a lot of attention. So ironically, the book that I've just kind of devoured in the last week is about parenting. It's called All Joy and No Fun, and it is not at all a self-help book, because I do not find those helpful or enjoy those, so don't worry, I will not be telling you about one of those. The author is journalist Jennifer Senior, and she likes to say that she takes more of a sociological look at parenting and the ways that it has changed. I've found it very relatable, but also just interesting to kind of look at parenting from a historical standpoint. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to play a little bit from a TED Talk and let her kind of speak for the book. This is just a minute or so, but she's talking, leading up to this, about a recent study looking at data on happiness. And what the researcher found was that parents are at their least happy when interacting with their kids compared to, like, you know, friends, spouses, strangers. Their kids
just,
were...
Just don't tell the kids that.
Something about parenting right now, at this moment, is the problem. Specifically, I don't think we know what parenting is supposed to be. Parent, as a verb, only entered common usage in 1970. Our roles as mothers and fathers have changed. The roles of our children have changed. We are all now furiously improvising our way through a situation for which there is no script. And if you're an amazing jazz musician, then improv is great. But for the rest of us, it can kind of feel like a crisis. So, how did we get here? How is it that we are all now navigating a child-rearing universe without any norms to guide us? Well, for starters, there's been a major historical change. Until fairly recently, kids worked on our farms primarily, but also in factories, mills, mines. Kids were considered economic assets. Sometime during the Progressive Era, we put an end to this arrangement. We recognized kids had rights. We banned child labor. We focused on education instead. And school became a child's new work.
Yeah, so for parents who like to read, there you go. All joy and no fun. That's my suggestion for the week. What do you got, Scott?
At the end of the year, you see a lot of top 10 lists, top 40 lists from critics and from different publications. And I have, over the course of the past several years, started using that as a way to navigate through all the cultural input that used to be a little easier back in the era of the gatekeeper, where you would have a particular magazine or a particular writer or something that you would keep track of as things came out. Now there's so much input, it's really hard to keep track of what's happening. And that stuff was always important to me. And I hate to lose track of things as they progress. So what I've kind of started doing is there are a few writers and critics and blogs that I actually value as sort of like my own version of a gatekeeper, even though it's not nationally mandated. And I keep track of those people. And when they do their end of the year list, I try to look up those movies and add them to my queues and look up those things that those critics whose tastes and sensibilities I know are close enough to mine, but who actually spend all of their time reviewing and listening to the music to winnow it down for me. And so just recently I've started looking at some music lists, including there's a blog called Passion of the Weiss, which is very big in hip hop, and they do every year they do a 50 best rap songs, and usually it's like their songs that are on the radio, and then there's a whole underground that you've never heard of. These guys are listening to it. There's whole really good songs that are really good material that you would never hear, and you wouldn't even know. It doesn't even seem like the same genre of hip hop as you experience it through the mainstream. So that's a whole other thing, and you might not like all of it, but at least I kind of get a sense of what's out there. Similarly, there's a critic who works for the Chicago Reader and has for years called Peter Margasek, who's got extremely eclectic taste, everything from folk to improvised music to indie rock to, all kinds of things. And always liked the way that he looked at stuff. And so when he puts out his year-end list, I always try to at least like make my own little sampler out of it and figure out at least what's going on and get some good ideas there. So between those and a couple of others. Jim DeRogatis, who is half of the Sound Opinions show that runs here on this station, is also got his ear to the ground, but with more like garage rock, indie rock, things like that. And so even though during the year I don't always have time to check out everything as it comes through, often at the beginning of the year I'll go and check out some of these lists and get some idea of what people who I respect are listening to. Same thing with movies, but I'll sort of stop with music there. But that's been my big project this week. So that's my culture corner.
Good way to spend your holiday downtime. Mm-hmm. Which, did you see what we did with Culture Corner last week? How we made Making a Murderer become a national sensation?
That was us. I know. Take all the credit.
That's like everywhere, which it had been, when I'm not going to say that like no one else heard of it, but it's really blown up over the last
week. Oh, yeah, totally.
Have you seen that other, Scott?
You know what? It's so funny that you would mention that, because I actually heard of it for the first time at a get-together Saturday night.
They had just listened to the scene on
absolutely
Friday.
Absolutely knew nothing about it. And yesterday, it was all over the news.
Yeah. Yeah, there's lots of petitions out there and different things.
Yeah.
Mob mentality going on.
Yep. Yeah, and I think we can take credit for most of that.
Pretty much. At least 90%. All right, song of the week.
This is a track by a Chicago psych folk band called Singleman Affair. They're local. They've been around for 4 or 5 years. This is from their newest record. It's a song called In Response.
You can walk away, but I can stay at home. Don't shine anymore.
said my dream, you know, was my name.